So the past few days, we've had a Carrot client here in the offices with us, and it was really cool. We'll tell you about the story of why Harvey has been spending the last several days here at my house and here at the Carrot offices here at Carrot HQ. We've been strategizing with him, laying out a plan on how to really dominate both this business, but also his other business he's starting. And also, we've had a lot of fun times at my house, overlooking the river. Really, really fun times. So going back to October, Harvey really stepped up to the plate. Okay, we had this fundraiser that we were doing here locally in Roseburg. It was the Umpqua Strong 9K race, and it was kind of the year anniversary to commemorate the shooting here at Umpqua Community College, October 2015, it would have been. And I'm not sure if you guys remember that one in the news, but there were nine people that were killed at that in that shooting, a school shooting, and it really rocked our community in a big way. And I think, there's always the opportunity. Does that separate and divide people more, or does that bring people together? And luckily, our community really came together in a massive way. I mean, people in organizations had started working together that never had before. A renewed sense of energy and renewed sense of pride in living here in the Umpqua Valley came to be. There's a lot of amazing things that came out of that. And one of them was this Umpqua Strong 9K. And there's some amazing organizers, one of them being a friend and mentor of mine, Seth Bueckley, who we've had on the podcast before. Just go ahead and go check our archives here in CarrotCast. Go to CarrotCast.com or check in iTunes and listen to that amazing episode with Seth Bueckley. He's a serial entrepreneur, has had some huge successes as an entrepreneur, sold his first business along with his dad when he was 27, 28 for $18 million. Had some hard times, as we talked about in the podcast with him. And then his most recent business, they got it up to $60 million. That's 6-0, $60 million here from Roseburg. Most of his staff in Silicon Valley and around the country. And then he sold that company about a year ago as well. Well, he headed up along with some great, great people here, this Umpqua Strong 9K. They did a fundraiser to fund scholarships at the school. And Carrot, as a team, raised more money than any other organization in the entire thing. About $60,000 were raised that week. And we raised, I think it was seven or eight of it. And I sent out an email. And this is a good lesson in asking for big things, because you can't get big things without the big ask. And we had a lot of our Carrot clients who stepped up and donated $25, $100. Some people donated $200. But the very last day, I sent an email to everyone and said, hey, anyone who's willing to step up and donate $3,000 or more, we'll fly you in here for a couple days, strategize, hang out with us, check out the area. And I get a text message several minutes later from Harvey, because we'd met before, worked on some stuff before. And he said, hey, Trevor, I just closed a deal, netted me $50K. It was a Carrot deal, came from Carrot. And I donate 10% of my profits to charity anyway. And I think this is a great cause. Where do I send the check? So he stepped up within minutes, sent $3,000 our way to a cause he had no connection with other than us, which is a really, really powerful thing. And we just had the chance to fulfill on that and get Harvey up here to Oregon and hang out. So in this podcast, it's a little bit different than normal. If you're listening to this, the audio quality is not going to be quite up to par, because we tried a different method of recording. So we've never recorded a podcast with two people in the same room here in the Carrot offices. So we used a different system to do it. And it turned out the content was great, and just kind of get past some of the low audio sections. And I think you'll really enjoy this conversation I had with Harvey Gronwald here in my office. He is tapping into a niche in real estate that most people aren't looking at, and he's getting bigger profits from this stuff than he was before with hardly any competition. He's down in California, crazy competitive market. So I think you'll be really curious to hear what he's doing and why he chose to shift his focus into that 4, 5, 6 months ago. It's not land like Gary Horton on our podcast recently. It's something you're probably completely overlooking. You're probably tossing these leads away, actually. And then we also talk about some other things like sushi. He's a big sushi connoisseur. We went out for sushi. We talk about how to pick great sushi and just some other things. So hopefully you enjoy this episode. Tune into our other episodes. Go to CarrotCast.com. Hit us with a rating if you love this episode or others. And guys, let's introduce you to Harvey Gronwald. Hey guys and gals, this is Trevor with Carrot. And this is definitely a different form of a Carrot Cast than we've ever had, which I'm pretty excited about it. I've got a guest with me, as you guys can tell, across the table from me. This is the first Carrot Cast format that we've ever had like this. And it's funny, right before I hit record,
We're actually trying to figure out how to do a podcast with two people in the same room because we always do the podcast on Skype. And we do have a studio here in the loft, but there's a couple things I need to figure out on it. A lot of other people are using it here, but I haven't been using it yet. So that this is a good little moment to go, okay, I need to figure out how to use the studio because that's perfect for these kinds of things. But I want to introduce you to my guest sitting across the table from me here. Harvey and I have had a chance to connect just even just the past 3 days. I mean, he's been up here in Roseburg, Oregon at our headquarters, hanging out at my house, having dinner out there with the family here at the care office today, getting a bunch of cool work done. But we go back a couple of years, really. Harvey's been a client of ours, doing really, really well. And to give you some quick backstory, he's here in Oregon at our offices for these last 3 days, partly because he really contributed in a massive way. There was this fundraiser that we were a part of in October this last year. The shooting at the school here in Roseburg, at Umpqua Community College, which would have been 2 Octobers ago. There's a big fundraiser and 9K race that we participated in to raise funds for scholarships for the Victims Fund, where 9 people were killed at that school shooting here in Roseburg. And I sent out an email, like not really expecting, honestly expecting anyone to step up that big. We had a lot of customers step up and donate 100 or 200 or 25 bucks here or there. And I said, you know what? You can't get anything big if you don't ask for anything big. Yeah. And so I sent out an email and said, anyone that's willing to step up and donate 3,000 or more to the cause, we'll fly up here, put you up for a few days and mastermind with you and hang out. And Harvey texted me not too long after that and said, I just closed the deal, netted me 50K. I'd love to help. So that's a really good segue to introduce you, man. Introduce yourself really quick and tell people a little bit about who you are.
Well, my name is Harvey Romwald. I'm with a company called Mobile Home Flipping Secrets. It's actually my company. And I've been investing with your sites for a few years. I've done really well, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Lately what I've been doing is I'm finding myself in a new niche in mobile homes. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I was kind of pushed into it because, you know, at least in my market, there's so many people chasing after the same regular kind of deals that I kind of fell into a mobile home at one point. And it was just so much easier because there wasn't all the same people going after the same deal. And I'm like, I'm going to do this again. So I went again, and there's just not a lot of competition. So I've kind of formed this niche working with mobile homes where everybody else is running past me to some single family home. I'm standing there with one, just me, the owner, and I get the deal and I get it, you know, get it wrapped up, and I've done pretty well. You know, what I've learned is if you can make these look as good or better and stage them real nice and just you don't always want to show the outside right away. You want to kind of show the inside and make it really look appealing. You can get a lot of people interested in these things and do pretty well.
Man, it's been really cool. Just even the past couple of days. So Harvey, last night at the house, you know, he was showing us some stuff, and today here in the office, like, take a look at this listing on one of my properties, and we'll probably dive into some of those methods and stuff here that people can take and really apply. But also kind of even before you really made that focus switch into mobile homes, you were flipping a lot of houses in Southern California. You still are.
Yeah.
But that's how we first connected, was Harvey Buys Houses, right?
Harvey Buys Homes.
Licensed agent in California, does a bunch of business that way, flips houses, and has really carved out an amazing niche in mobile homes, but not the way that you guys are thinking. So we'll kind of dive into that in a second. One thing, like completely outside of real estate, I know you've kind of seen this the last couple of days. We've had a chance to drive up to Eugene and pick up my younger brother at the airport there. Had some good sushi, which we're going to talk sushi in a second. You know, we headed up the river and went hiking a little bit. But a couple of things. So you love fly fishing, which is something that I love the thought of fly fishing. So I'm going to get started on that this year. But then sushi, we both really like sushi. And when we were up there at the sushi place, me and Kyle were like, we need to do a podcast on this because Harvey is insanely experienced at sushi. And he like really schooled us on sushi. And I'm going to toss a couple things out there. But, dude, give people a little bit of perspective. If you guys like sushi, listen up. But give people a little bit of perspective on kind of your experience with like travel and sushi in Japan.
Yeah.
And we're going to bring it back to our experience yesterday in a second. But.
Okay, so I'm really big into sushi, but my fiance, she's Japanese, so you know, I would take her to what I thought was a really good sushi place in my area, and then we started dating. And she's like, you know, this really isn't that great.
Yeah.
So she's like, what you need to do is you need to look for certain types of sushi. And you need to go for things that have a little bit more fat in them. And those are going to be the pieces you're not going to get from a regular, you know, sushi joint. Or you have to ask for that. You need to let them know that you really know what you're doing. So what I kind of like to do is I'll go in there and I'll be like, hey, I'll go to the chef and I'll say, hey, I want the best thing you have. Surprise me, you know, impress me, make me want to come back and come back here all the time.
Yeah.
And usually what will happen, and this kind of happened yesterday, is the chef will come out and they'll come and talk to you. And you got to let them know that, hey, I know what I'm doing. I've been to Japan. And in Japan, you know, the sushi is really, really good.
Yeah.
It's like it melts like butter, you guys. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
So they come out and they talk to you and say, hey, bring me the best thing you have, the freshest thing. It doesn't matter what it costs. Just bring it and keep bringing me the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get some really good sashimi and sushi.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I started doing. And so we started doing that in different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm.
We did that in Japan. Even in Japan, I'd go into these, you know, amazing sushi restaurants. And we would say the same thing. And you should have seen some of the amazing things that we got. We had the one, it was a fish. I think I showed you the video of it. It was a video of the fish. I wish I could show it to you guys.
You might be able to.
I don't know if I can. But basically there was a fish tank and it was behind the sushi chef. And he's like, do you want something really good? I'm like, just bring it, you know? And he caught a fish in the tank behind him. He brings it, he fillets it, and he puts it on the counter. And it's kind of got a skewer through it, and the head's there, and the whole body's there, and there's the sashimi, the meat.
Yeah.
And it's still breathing.
Dude, that was wild when I saw it. I was telling my wife about that, too, because she's in the medical field, and she's not very squirmy, but she's like, if I would have saw that, I would have been done. But a couple things that I learned from you yesterday, dude, on the sushi side. So I love sushi, but it's kind of one of those things where I'm probably a very average sushi eater, as in, I like sushi, but you taught us about the different cuts of sushi. Actually, that'd be a good example. That'd be something.
Yeah,
to
show. I don't know if you guys can see this. All right,
a little bit.
A little bit. Okay, so this is the side of this way, tuna. So this part right here, the really red part, is what you're going to get at a regular sushi restaurant. The part that's really good is going to be the whiter part. It gets fatter and fatter as it goes here. And leaner and leaner and leaner as it goes that way. So this is the inexpensive stuff, you guys. What you're going to want to order is the stuff right here. It's called fatty tuna, or fatty with two words, fatty, in front of it. Like that, just a little tiny piece, you guys, is going to cost you. Sometimes it'll cost you $20 a piece.
Yeah.
But it's like butter. It's really good. So if you want to go splurge and get some really good stuff, and you show the chef this, they're going to know that you're in a different game. And the other thing you want to kind of say, you know, I'm getting caught up here, is wasabi is also something that I really like to have, really good wasabi.
Mm-hmm.
And most people think of wasabi, it's the green paste that you get and it's hot. But the real wasabi, it's actually a root. And what they do is they'll grind it up and they put it in saran wrap and they have to flip it over.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what they tell me. And then they let it sit for a while. And if they don't do it just right, it doesn't have that bite anymore. Mm-hmm. So the real wasabi, you say, look, I want the fatty tuna, I want the salmon belly with the fat, and I want the fresh wasabi, and then they know you know what you're talking about. And then they'll bring it on. And you might find some restaurants that are better than others, and some are going to surprise you. And actually, the one that we did this to recently in Japan, the chef was we really had some fun and got to talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he invited us to the largest fish market in Japan, which you're not even allowed to be in.
Yeah.
So we got behind the scenes, and you know, he strayed off a couple of times and security would come try to get us and get us out of there. But it was really amazing to see these like really big 400 pound tunas and the kind of stuff I just showed you on my phone, you'd see it live. You know, so it's pretty cool stuff.
That is cool. And I know so we did that, we ate some sushi and there's some awesome sushi. All the sushi was pretty good, but there's that, I think it's the yellowtail belly.
The belly,
We ordered and had another set.
Yeah, we got another set. That was really good,
And then you mentioned, too, one other thing, too. So the temperature of the tuna, I never honestly thought, or the fish, I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
You were going through and eating some of it, and you're like, that's a little too cold. I'm like, too cold? Like, I don't know, that's a good thing, isn't it? But then as you explained the temperature and how that can help with flavor, it's important.
Yeah, so it's kind of like if you've ever had like a Slurpee or anything like that, or even a Coke or something, and you drink it when it's warm, it's going to be extremely sugary, very, very, you know, strong.
Yeah.
When it's colder, you don't quite, it's not quite as strong the taste. Mm-hmm. So the same thing with sushi and sashimi. And just so you guys know, the difference between sushi and sashimi is sashimi is just a fish.
Mm-hmm.
Sushi is only rice.
Gotcha.
So when they bring you sashimi or sushi, it's got to be the correct temperature. If it's too cold, all you feel is cold.
Mm-hmm.
You don't taste the flavors. If it's too warm, it feels kind of odd.
Yeah.
Know? The same thing with the rice. If you're going to get rice, if you ever see them, they'll take rice and they'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll tap it with their fingers.
Yeah.
Because they want it to be the exact same, the correct consistency.
Yeah.
It can't be too cold. It can't be too warm. It can't be too loose. It can't be too tight. If it's too tight, you bite into it, it's like really hard, and it's not
hard and gummy, and
it's not the good experience. If it's too loose, you dip it in some soy sauce, and it falls apart.
Yeah,
so it's got to be just right. So
I love it. So hopefully, if there's other sushi connoisseurs out there, you guys have picked up some tidbits. I know I did when we were at sushi yesterday. I thought we'd share that with you. So a couple of the things, man. I mean, let's kind of briefly go through your journey. We've got a short amount of time here. I've got to pick up my daughter in 15-20 minutes. We got some time for school. So how did you get into real estate? I know earlier this week you were mentioning that your job was kind of outsourced. So kind of what happened there and what led you into the real estate side?
Well, I was doing some small deals on the side, meaning I mostly rent properties. I rent property. And way back then, you know, I put 20% down, I'd get a tenant in there, and then I'd kind of just wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of time, I was, you know, watching videos online and different stuff. And I eventually thought I wanted to get into, you know, flipping and that kind of thing. And I started doing a couple of little deals on the side. And then eventually what happened was I was thinking I wanted to get to a point where I can go full time. It's right about that time when they outsourced my entire department.
Yeah.
And I was like, basically like, all right, I'm in a situation where I either go find another job, or I just go full time.
So, what were you doing in that previous career?
I was an IT director for a hospital,
okay.
Actually for University of California, Irvine, and that's right about the time I found your site.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you knew that before, but
no.
That's kind of like right when I came in there, and I'd already been doing some stuff, but I needed to amplify my business. I needed to amplify the leads coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find a portal that would work, that was proven, and I knew I could commit myself to it. And I found you, and I signed up. And,
sweet.
And here I am now. You know, it's I've come quite a long way. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you, man. And I'll toss it out to people too. The first time that I'd ever heard Harvey's name was on one of our weekly coaching calls. And if you guys are Content Pro member or above, you've got access to our weekly coaching calls. We used to call them Mastermind calls back then, but we just switched the name this January to Coaching Call. It's really more of a coaching call, where it's us delivering content rather than everyone sharing their stuff on there. And one thing I really love is when clients share their stories, both the stuff that's not working because we want to help you through it, but also the success stories because I want to hear them. Like you want to hear that the work you're doing is helping people, and you want the validation, right?
Yeah.
That go, okay, we're doing the right things. Let's keep on doing that, or here's what we can do better. And someone shared some results that they had, and I asked something to the effect of, hey, is there anyone else on here? Like, what results have you got in the past, you know, 60 days or whatever? And Harvey chimed in, it was something like, man, I netted 80 grand this month or whatever it was on some deals.
I think I said I made $89,000 for $3,000 in AdWords or $2,000 in AdWords or something. And I think I was saying, look, if you guys are doing AdWords, just keep doing it. It's going to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what we started.
Yeah. And that's what Harvey had been doing for a while. And I think that's really still your main online marketing method anyways, is just using the Carrot platform, launching some good, simple, but effective Google AdWords. And it works. It's been working great for him, really high ROI. What else are you doing offline to pull in deals? And you're in a really competitive market, so it's not like you're in a market where there's no competition, so you've got to get creative to get deals.
You know, the interesting thing is I make friends with a lot of REO agents,
mm-hmm.
a lot of agents specifically. And, I mean, I'll have agents call me and tell me, hey, you know, check this out. And that's really huge. Like,
mm-hmm.
right now I'm doing at least 50% of my deals are coming from agents.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really good. I mean, as an investor, I've many times tried to call and you know, you try to call on this killer deal,
yeah,
and the agent won't respond. They don't, but it's always gets sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how do I become that guy that's getting in front of that agent?
Yeah.
And simply put, I go after the agents that do a lot of volume. I talk to them. I present myself. I say, hey, this, my name's Harvey, and I'm a licensed real estate agent, and I've dealt with a lot of bad buyers in my life.
Yeah.
I am not one of those. I'm not going to have you know, drive me around for days and then dump you. No, I'm gonna go to the home. I'm gonna preview it. I'm gonna handle all of escrow. I'm gonna do everything, and I'm gonna give you my commission because I'm an agent.
Mm-hmm.
All you gotta do is sit back and collect my commission. But I need to get this property.
Yeah.
And they like to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
And
no work. I get paid, and the guy's gonna close.
I will close. Like, and that's the big thing, is letting them know that, because they're an agent too. They've dealt with really bad buyers in their lives and cancel on them and causing stress. I go, I'm not going to do that. So they kind of, they'll laugh and say, oh my gosh. They'll say, have you ever had a really bad buyer? You
yeah.
Should? Yeah. I go, that's not me. I'm going to close. And that gets them laughing. And it's funny. It builds some rapport there. And then when something comes up, you know, mm-hmm. I get the deal. So it really works.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
And that's a big deal, you know, because we've talked about it a lot in the Carrot Cast and Coaching Calls and all of our content, that we're definitely in a market that's competitive, right?
Yeah.
You've got as housing prices go up, more investors want to pile in and be an investor. More agents want to become, or more people want to become agents. And so if people are going out there doing the minimum and they're just reaching out to the agent or reaching out to the seller once, and then they kind of go, oh, well, they didn't call me back. Maybe, you know, I don't know what happened. Then you got guys like Harvey that are just being more strategic. You're being a lot more strategic. You're building the credibility. So you're being very conscious of that. That this is what's going through the agent's mind or the seller's mind.
Yeah.
How do I now address that issue when I get a hold of them purposefully and go, okay, let me combat those issues in their mind so I'm a logical choice out of the dozens of people I'm competing with.
Absolutely.
And that's the cool thing. And you mentioned before that sometimes you'll be able to get deals where you're paying less than other offers and close them.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Especially in the mobile home space.
Mm-hmm.
What I'll do is when I talk to an agent, let's say they might have an offer that's 150 or some number,
mm-hmm.
and I say, you know, I want to come in at 110 or whatever it might be. And then I go through the whole, I talk to them, I say, look, you know, I've been doing mobile homes for a long time. There's nothing about mobile homes that scares me. I currently have, I think right now I have 26 that I'm holding. And I say, look, if you've ever dealt with a mobile home before, you know that when you're the listing agent with a mobile home, many times you'll get a buyer.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to the agent that's the listing. You'll get a buyer, and you'll be halfway through escrow. And since nobody knows much about mobile homes, they'll get spooked by something like it's not level, it's sinking, and there's this crack down the middle. Mobile homes are on piers, so things sink and crack. You just got to jack them back up.
Yeah.
But the big thing that happens with mobile homes is the buyer will usually get spooked, and then one of their relatives or their family or friend will say, oh my gosh, don't buy a mobile home. It's just going to lose value. And that buyer is gone.
Yeah.
And I say to the agent, have you ever had that happen to you, or have you ever heard of that? And they say, absolutely. I go, that's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
I know everything about these things inside, outside, backwards, forwards. So I will close, I promise you. So what happens is I get my offer accepted even though there's higher offers.
Yep.
And I make that happen. So that's, I'm that guy that when you call and somebody already got the property.
It's Harvey. So there's a couple things I want to unpack a little bit more. So, you know, we've talked about the mobile home stuff a little bit, and that you've shifted a good part of your focus over toward that.
Yeah.
Man, kind of discuss why, because people are probably looking at it and going, like, why is he buying mobile homes, right? But you have a very specific reason. It's working great for you right now.
Well, you know, in my market, it's getting pretty competitive in my market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what will happen is, you know, you know, the lead will come in, whether it's through your sort, you know, through Alcari or a different one. And by the time you get there, there'll already be 10 or 15 other people that are trying to compete for that. And it drives the price up.
Mm-hmm.
With mobile homes, what I found is there's just not a lot of people in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just be me and that seller, or me and that agent. And they don't have a lot of deals.
Yeah.
And what I found also is that, and this is a really key point, is there's different kinds of mobile home investing. There's mobile home investing where the land is owned under the mobile home. And then there's mobile home investing where there's a mobile home in a park.
Yeah.
You can profit in both, but what I like to do is I like to go with mobile homes that are on land that are within, say, 30 to 45 minutes, or just from a city mm-hmm. where there's like regular homes, and you're going to find where there's a little bit more land and there's going to be mobile homes on those. Mm-hmm. And again, you're going to own land underneath it. So when I make these homes look absolutely outstanding, I mean, they look like $1 million. We stage them all mid-century modern furniture. It looks like $1 million. And so what I'll do is I will post a picture of the inside of the home when I list it. I don't post a picture of the outside. Then mm-hmm. they don't see what it is.
Before Harvey goes into this, this is a big deal, guys and gals. So even if you're selling single family or whatever, listen to what he's talking about here, because oftentimes the way that you sell the home and the value you can get can dictate how much you can buy for it, which helps with your competitiveness on the buy side.
Yeah.
So would you be cool if we linked up one of your property listings, like the one you showed like below this podcast?
Yeah.
Just so people can see the pictures and stuff. But anyway, so he's going to describe to you how he markets his properties better, just with the visuals, just with the pictures and stuff, and eliminates that initial kind of perception that people will get about a mobile home. They're like, oh my gosh, it's a mobile home, so I immediately rule that out. He flip-flops that so that doesn't happen. So what do you do there?
So what you can do is you can list them as a single family. Mm-hmm. When a mobile home is attached to the ground, it's called a registered 433. Mm-hmm. It's actually permanently affixed to the ground. And then they can be financed with FHA or regular financing. Okay. They are real property. If they just have wheels underneath them and they can be rolled away, they're technically not real property. Mm-hmm. So once you have a home and you list it as a single family home, when people go online, let's say in your area, let's call it a 3-bedroom, 2-bath goes for a single family home, not a mobile home, goes mm-hmm. for $400.
Yeah.
But mine's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, the same square footage, and let's say it's $250. Mm-hmm. And when they're searching for a 4-bedroom home, and mine comes up and it's $150,000 less,
yeah,
than another home, and mine looks like $1 million, mm-hmm. my phone's ringing off the hook,
yeah, right?
And it's ringing. And then when I show it to them and the way it looks and all the people that show up because it looks like a really good value, mm-hmm. I get my number and I get it really quick.
Yeah.
And that's really kind of the secret is you want them to compete with the single families, but to make it competitive, it has to look like $1 million.
Yeah.
So I have a designer and a stager, and she goes through everything. We pick the paint colors. Everything she does is from, you know, she goes to all the model homes. And yeah. She sees what's popping, what's, you know, HGTV and Home and Garden, and everything kind of models that. So mm-hmm. whatever people are really, you know, looking at nowadays that they like is what they're going to see in my mm-hmm. homes. And that's really the trick. It really needs to be set up. Because a lot of people don't quite have a vision with things, mm-hmm. so you got to give them that vision. So yeah. Everything, like, I mean, we can take a look here in a minute. We'll show you some of the photos, but yeah, mm-hmm. that's really what I do. And also what happens is, since I'm able to, and I sell these things for a lot higher than comps, mm-hmm. because I get, you know, when there's something that's $150,000 less than a single family home, you get a lot of offers.
Yeah.
And because of that, I'm also able to, when I need to, I'm able to pay a little bit more for something, because I can sell it a lot more on the other end. Mm-hmm. So that eliminates a lot of my competition.
Yeah.
And puts me right where I need to be. So I have no lack of deals coming in right now.
So. Dude, and that's a cool thing. Like, so we'll find some way to give you some visuals of these properties, even if we just grab some of the pictures on that listing you showed us today. But
sure.
The basics of it, the very first photo that you showed me on that listing, it wasn't the front of the house like a lot of people show. It was like this living room shot of this amazing looking house, and the flooring looked great. It was all modern, kind of the colors that are the gray tones.
Yeah.
They had painted one of the walls this awesome gray. They had staged it with really cool modern looking furniture. The kitchen was redone. Like, I'm looking at it too, going, man, this is amazing. And then you had great photos.
Yeah.
So you had someone who's just really good at taking real estate photos.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people kind of cheap out on those things. They say, oh, I'm going to save the $200 and get it with my iPhone, or, you know, I'm just going to throw a couple of things in here, not really fully stage it. But on average, if you have this number, you know about how much you put into, let's say, refurbishing a house, and then how much you put into the staging and selling of it, like the pictures, the staging, that kind of thing?
Sure. So the photography costs me about $200. Mm-hmm. And I don't do flyers anymore. That's an extra $50 because my homes sell so fast that I don't need flyers anymore. The staging you're going to look at, it's about... Let's say, for instance, the average mobile home is about 1,500 square feet. Mm-hmm. I'll pay anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 for the staging.
Yep.
If I just want to stage the living room, the kitchen, the bathrooms, I can get away with about 1,500. Mm. But if you have a nice master, and I do the extra, the master, maybe there's an attached bath, like an extra bath, you might be looking at like $2,000.
Okay.
And as far as the rehab costs, mobile homes are really easy to work on because you can get underneath them. Mm-hmm. But usually what I'll do is I'll just do my flooring, and you're looking at about 450 a square foot install.
Mm-hmm.
Painting an inside of a mobile home costs me about $3,000.
Okay.
That's including the cabinets. And then what I'll do is I'll put quartz on top of the counters. I don't do granite anymore.
Yeah.
And that's going to cost me about $3,500 if there's two bathrooms and a kitchen.
Okay.
If there's an island, it's about another $400. And then that's really it. I'll do lighting. I get all LED lighting now because people like to see, you know, energy efficient LED lighting. And then I get this cool sink from Amazon. I'm sorry, not a sink, the faucet. And it's a cool like coil over sink with these coils on
gotcha,
it.
Yeah.
And you can get them for like, I think it's like $67 or something. But if you go to Home Depot, like $300.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are looking at it, they think it's a $300, you know,
faucet.
And then I always do the same handles or the 5-inch handles
mm-hmm.
for the cabinets. And those are like $550 at like a Home Depot or a Lowe's. But I can get them on Amazon for about $10.
Oh, really?
So people think I'm spending a lot of money. Then I always do new appliances.
Yeah.
And that's really about it. If I need to like paint a mobile home on the outside, mm-hmm. like if you go to a painter and you ask a painter to paint your home, you're looking at a few $1,000s.
Yeah.
But what I like to do, guys, and this is a really good trick, is I like to hire my like handyman or somebody and say, hey, you know, what's your hourly rate?
Mm.
All right, $10-$15 an hour. And I say, all right, let's color match the main area of the mobile home.
Yeah.
So they go to Home Depot, they color match it, and they just roll it. And then I get away with a paint job for a day and a half of labor and a bucket of paint.
Yeah, so $100.
Yeah, I just did one. It was he did the whole thing. He didn't do the trim. The trim was in good shape. He could have. He did a couple trim pieces. Because there's your trim, and the trim kind of goes toward the home as well.
Yeah.
I just had to do the front of it, the white front,
mm-hmm.
so that he doesn't have to cut in or be very detailed. He just rolled it and rolled the walls.
Yeah.
And I got myself, you know, several $1,000 paint job for $200.
That's cool. So all in, I mean, it's kind of adding some of those numbers. If you got a few grand on counters and stuff, or on the paint.
About $20,000.
Yeah, so $20,000 on the renovation. And just the numbers you were telling me before, these are like normal house flipping profits. This isn't what a lot of people are thinking on mobile homes, where they think they're going to make 5, 10, or 15 grand. You're pulling in pretty hefty numbers.
Oh yeah, like maybe the one you're going to show here that I showed you. That one, the numbers on that, I think I got that at either 132 or 136.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was into it for 18 with all the appliances and everything, and then a couple grand for staging. So mm-hmm. I into it for about 20, and I sold it for $239.9.
Yeah.
And I sold it immediately the first weekend. And, you know, that's a pretty, if you do the numbers there, that's a pretty good profit. You know,
really
after all expenses and time and holding costs, which there's not a lot of holding costs, but I do like to hold everything for 3 months.
Yeah.
So you have that FHA rule, you hold it for 3 months and you can do FHA financing, which is the same with mobile homes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I made about 75, 76, somewhere around the profit on that.
That's cool.
And you only have to put a little bit in. You're only into it for, you know, 100 and 150.
Yeah.
To make that kind of money on a single family, you might have to, you know, 400,000 or something, depending on your market, of course.
And that's the thing. I think we did an episode of the Carrot Castle with Gary Vorton, and I've been talking with Harvey about Gary a little bit on the land side. And,
yeah.
and I think the cool thing there with both of these is you see market shifts in your market and making sure that you're adjusting your business model to best fit how you can succeed in that market. And unless you're really wanting to go head to head with all those other house flippers and wholesalers, which you totally can, we have a lot of customers who are doing that and they're crushing. But there's these niches out there that there's just very, very little competition for. So you can either go after these niches and get creative with them and have very little competition, or you can really tackle the high competition house flipping, which once again, there's a lot of money in that too. It just kind of depends on what you're wanting to do. And it's so cool that you can pivot a business, go in a direction most people aren't going.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you found something that people didn't discover, you know. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, no, it's been great. So mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot of them now. I would say 90% of what I'm doing now is manufactured, and I'm starting to do stuff in parks, and it's working in there too. You know, once you identify things and you start to see it more clear, every time you do one, you learn more and more and more.
Yep.
It's just I'm getting better and better at it, you know. Yeah, it's been amazing.
Awesome. So we've got a couple more minutes here, and I got a jet, but I got one question for you. So you've been here since Saturday. It's Monday right now. He's taking off back home tomorrow. What, if anything, is there anything surprising or that surprised you versus, I guess, what you saw about Carrot versus when you showed up and you've been here for a few days, or is there anything that that you really got a lot out of the last couple of days being here?
You mean other than sitting down with you and brainstorming? That Dude. Was absolutely amazing.
That was fun.
Yeah. I really love the people here, so friendly. You know, everybody at Carrot, you know, Jen gave me a hug. You know, I love your, you know, everything you have on the walls here about your core values. That's really amazing. You know, I knew you guys were, you know, kind of like that, but to see it and hear it, to see everybody, how everybody's so friendly and the behind the scenes has just been really amazing.
Cool.
And I love it. I love to meet you and your family and your team. It was just really enjoyable and really, you know, had a great time.
Likewise, man. And this isn't the first time Harvey and I have met. We've met a couple other times, but it's really cool having you up here, man. And like I said, the obvious is I want to thank you for contributing and stepping up for the fundraiser. But either way, I think you would have been up here sometime anyway. You know, that would just give a really good reason to get you up here sooner, because I know you're doing really cool stuff. I always look forward to hearing updates from you and all the cool stuff you're doing. And also, everyone listening to this, just kind of follow Harvey's lead and don't let roadblocks get in your way from really moving forward and taking good positive action. Be a sharer. I know one thing that Harvey's doing right now in this podcast, but also he started a training course for helping to teach people what he's doing on the mobile home side. He needs to start sharing what he's doing. And what's the URL for that again that you've got spun up?
It's mobilehomeflippingsecrets.com.
Mobilehomeflippingsecrets.com. You can check out what he's doing. He's got he was in Medford, Oregon just the other day and filmed several videos while he was out properties looking for stuff with one of his students. And it's really cool stuff. So if you want to follow along, see what he's doing, check that out. Subscribe, watch his webinar, look at his content, and just really go out there and crush it. And one thing I'll toss out to you before I go pick up my daughter is if there's anything we can help you with, let us know. And also, if you happen to be passing through Oregon, let us know. We'd love to take you to lunch, take you out for a beer or something like that. You got to step up in a bigger way and hang out at my house for a couple days and spend an entire day here at the office like Harvey, and I love it. But we just absolutely love having our clients here. I want to find a way to get more of our clients here, which is a lot of fun. And I just appreciate everyone watching this. Hopefully the audio came through okay, because it's the first time I've ever done one like this.
Yeah.
I'm sure the audio isn't exactly like our normal podcasts do, but hopefully it came through good. And Harvey, dude, thank you for
thank
coming
you.
And joining us.
Cool. Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. All right. Have an amazing rest of the week, y'all. And I just noticed out of the video, so I got like this rash this week, y'all. This is the good version of it. This is the good version of it. So don't get into stuff that gives you rashes. But you guys go out there and crush it. Share your stories. See if mobile home flipping is something you want to do. Check out Harvey. And let's crush it this summer. Have an amazing rest of the week.
Hopefully you enjoyed that episode of the Carrot Cast with Harvey Gronwald, Carrot client, and just crushing it. Had a blast hanging out with you here in the offices and at my house here the last several days, Harvey. And dude, really appreciate you just sharing all that you shared in that podcast and sharing all that you shared with me here in the offices. So guys and gals, if you loved this episode, if you love the episodes of the Carrot Cast, please, 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 they're free. They're free for you. They cost money for me to produce, but I would love for you, if you enjoyed this episode, if you get some value out of it, pay for this episode with a rating or review on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast catcher is. Take 15 seconds and give us a quick review. Give us your feedback. That's like oxygen to us, helping us with this podcast. Also gets our message in front of more people, which helps us make the impact in a much faster way that we're looking to make. Next, I want to hear your feedback. What do you guys want to listen to on the podcast? Do you want to hear more entrepreneur stories that are kind of the behind the scenes, how high level entrepreneurs perform and how they tick and what they do in their day to day? Do you want to hear more real estate stuff? Do you want to hear people talking about real estate methods and strategies? Or do you want to hear more behind the scenes here at Carrot, what we're doing to grow our company really fast, what I'm learning mindset wise, leadership wise, profit wise, how to invest my own money, how to really make the biggest impact, cash flow, all those kinds of things? What do you guys want to know? head over to Facebook. Go to facebook.com/investorcarrot. facebook.com/investorcarrot. Find our Facebook page. And then right there on the page, give us a comment, shoot us a message, whatever it is. What we're going to do is the first 10 people who give us a comment there on the Facebook page, letting us know feedback, what you would like to hear on the podcast, we are going to send you something cool. We're going to send you something cool in the mail. Okay. It's a little bit of a surprise. I promise you'll love it. But first 10 people to go over to facebook.com/investorcarrot, give us feedback on what you would love to hear in the podcast. Just shoot us a message in there. The first 10 will mail you something in the mail. Include your mailing address as well. We think you'll love it. All right. So have an amazing week, guys and gals. Go out there, really impact some people. Make sure you hustle and really focus on implementing some things you learned today. And please be that beacon of positivity and possibility and help uplift other people this week. All right. Until next time.